Happy birthday to one who, man?
My man Emmett Smith.
Emmett Smith.
He said 53?
53 today.
53 years old today.
Yeah, 53 today. And he still is the all-time leading rusher, isn't he?
I think he's going to have it for a while. I mean, I've said this consistently. I don't have any pretenses about Emmett. If I was ranking running backs, I personally would have him in the 6 to 10 range. As far as if you were going to sit around and have a draft. Okay, we're going to have a running back draft.
Right.
All time. There's at least 5, 6, 7 backs I would take before him when it comes to pure ability. But I also think there's something to be said for the durability with which he played. I think he was an underrated. I think his ability to make guys miss, Pat, was underrated because, for one thing, you had Barry Sanders in the league who could make people miss better than anybody I've ever seen.
Right.
And, yes, he did have an incredible offensive line ahead of him. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think at times
he's overlooked a little bit.
Here's the fan coming out in me. Freely admit, I'll homer out a little bit, but I think at times he doesn't get the credit that he deserves because he had such a great team around him. I think sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, he's just an average runner. He had great people around him. No, Emmett Smith was a fantastic running back. Was he as electric as Barry Sanders? No. Find me somebody who was. Was he Jim Brown? No. Find me somebody who was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally think he's probably in the 6 to 10 range, maybe in that 7, 8, 9 range, somewhere in there.
See, I've told you, it looks, if you watch him from the back, which I have, both of them, he and Thurman Thomas, his running style is almost identical to me. And
pretty close to the same size.
The whole deal, they both got a lot of the knuckleball. They've got some juice. They've still got their instincts in the hole, is exceptional. You've still got a burst. Now, it's not quite, Sanders or Gale Sayers, but who is?
Who was,
at the end of the day, these guys are very similar and it's with Emmett and with Thomas, 4 Super Bowls, everything
right.
Emmett did, they're very, very similar. And I've told you this before, and I'll be a little bit careful how I say this, but I was in the draft room when Jimmy and them took him, okay,
mm-hmm.
and I was there. It's probably a good thing that Blair Thomas went number 2.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yep.
I can't say I know what they would have done, but I'm just saying this would have gotten real interesting if all of a sudden Blair Thomas and Emmett are both there at about Dallas took him at 17.
I think it was 17, yeah.
17. If all of a sudden, you'd have gotten fairly close to that and both of them were sitting there, that would have been an interesting one. It really would have.
The things about Emmett that, in my opinion, don't get brought up enough, kind of the same things that a lot of running backs discussion doesn't bring up enough. He was tremendous in pass protection. He could catch the ball out of the backfield.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean,
tough, durable,
as you can find. All that. I don't know. I think he was a fantastic player. Yep.
And for a guy who wasn't a great power back, like you guys said, I mean, there were power backs that were better than him. There were speed backs better than him. But he was a good short yardage back, wasn't he, Matt? I mean, he really was. He was good in short yardage situations. And like Pat said, just he ran so low to the ground, his balance, all the things that you talked about with Thurman. I mean, I think that's a great comparison,
well,
Pat.
Well, his and again, both you say the same thing. Their instincts, and that's a vague term. You can't put a number on instincts and say 4-4 or something. I mean, it just you can't. But his instincts, as far as is what they feel in the hole, Matt, or what they see, describe it. However, flat football player. Aside from being tough, the great story, what was it up there against the Giants, right?
Yes.
When he had the shoulder knocked down.
Had a separated shoulder.
And they got to win the ball game.
Yep.
And he, I don't remember, Jimmy left him in there, and they just kept on firing away, did he?
Oh, and there were a couple of times where he came off sideline. You could very clearly tell.
Dangling his shoulder the whole time. You know, and he didn't ask to be taken out or anything else. They weren't going to do it, and the whole thing. But
what did he run for in that game, Matt?
It was well over 100. I think he also caught like 10 passes for 60-something or whatever.
Didn't he break off about a 60-yarder there fairly late or something like that, Matt?
The run that he got hurt on was a long run of maybe about that was, 30 maybe or 40 yards.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about, okay.
And I bring this up all the time. Yeah. I always bring up about how John Madden, that was the first time, I don't know if it was the only, but it was the first time that after the game, that John Madden broadcasted, that he left the booth and went to the locker room because he wanted to shake a player's hand.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what John Madden thought of what he saw that day. I'll take Coach Madden's opinion, you know. I mean,
sure.
I could go on and on about him. And again, I understand, you know, he's the all-time leading rusher. Nobody can ever take that away from him. I realize he had a great supporting cast around him, incredible team around him. There's no doubt about that. But I also think at times his skill level, Pat, gets a little underrated. I don't think there's any question about that. I think at times people think that he was just a product of all the great talent around him. And while that certainly helped, this guy was a darn good running back too.
Well, he wasn't. You know, if you let him run a foot race, Dorsett will outrun him.
Yes.
You know, Dorsett would probably be, Matt, see if you agree, this a bit more flashy type of back.
Yes.
You know, and again, had more flat-out speed. Of course, Dorsett was a great back, in the whole deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, Heisman Trophy winner and all this kind of stuff. And now, I mean, I can remember when Smith was you know, being recruited. He was highly sought after
out of Pensacola. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and obviously Florida gets him, and the rest is history in that regard. Jimmy and them, make no mistake, they were really happy to get him. They were very, very, but, you know, when he was still there at 17, you know, bammo, he's gone, and they were proud of it, you know, and the whole deal. Now, again, so without me getting into detail,
but if they could have gotten Blair Thomas,
well, I would say this: that would have been a real, real interesting one to discuss if Blair Thomas had been sitting there. I can tell you that now. But on the same hand, it all happened right for everybody, didn't it, Matt?
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
We had the big schedule release
last night. You know, when I look at these things, and you know, this is the way we used to look at them when we're coaching in the league, you know, and when you look at when I can look at one team's schedule, Greg, more things start popping out to me than when I just look at who all's playing 1 week, you know, and that sort of thing.
Week by week, right.
I actually took Dallas's schedule, and I took Kansas City's schedule, because those, you know, we get the probably the most interest in those people around here. There's several things that jumped out overall. Now, I didn't discover this my own self. I read it some, but this is pretty interesting. Guys, there are four teams that play three consecutive road games. That's one of the things that we always used to look for with our team, okay, when this thing came out, as far as consecutive road games, you know, and when do they occur. Green Bay has three of them. They play consecutive road games week 7, 8, and 9. Kansas City has three of them. They play consecutive road games on 13, 14, and 15, okay. Now, Philly has three of them. They play in consecutive road games, week 14, 15, and 16. Now, my Miami Dolphins, guys, listen to this one. Now, somebody up there, they trying to run. Maybe Stephen Ross has got them all mad or some kind of thing at them. Miami, on week 13, 14, and 15, week 13, they go to San Francisco, all right, which is like – That's a long ways away.
That's a long trip.
You can get as far as you can get in this country, basically, without going to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to San Francisco. Now, the second week, week 14 of this deal, now they'll have to make a decision because they play the Los Angeles Chargers.
Do they stay out there?
Which is a pain in the I mean, you know, then you're out of rhythm. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, and that's part of being a player or a coach. But, you know, they got to make decisions like that. And then the third one, okay, in week 15, they go to Buffalo. And aside from that being such a big ball game, week 15 in Buffalo, you're probably not going to get a heat wave up
there. You probably need a parka.
You probably better put your heavy socks on to go to that one. So they got that deal, but oh my goodness sake. So
what you're saying, Pat, I mean, yeah, if you stay out there, you cut down on the coast-to-coast trip twice,
right.
but still, a two-week trip takes it out of you in the middle of the season, right?
Well, I mean, and you're not where your weight room is. You're not where you're training. Now, they'll make amends, and they'll do it, and probably will, and guys have, but it's just another form of harassment, what we used to call it, you know, that's just the whole thing.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Okay, now, Matt, I'm looking at Dallas's schedule.
Okay.
Here's the first thing that popped at me. And you can say this about other people.
Sure.
But, you know, they open at home against Tampa and Cincinnati. And we talked yesterday about the I don't care who you are, the importance of getting W number one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you could play. This brings up the point that you could play. They could play good and be 0-2.
Sure they could. You better believe it.
And if that's the case, you got to better watch it. But anyway, so they got Tampa, Cincinnati. And then, you know, then the Giants, and then two division games with the Giants in Washington, okay? And then they're at Los Angeles Chargers, but, you know, and they're open.
The Rams.
It's the Rams. I'm sorry. It's the Rams. Yeah. My mistake. I was looking at the decal wrong. It's the Rams. You know, their open date or bye week, call it whatever, is number 9, which is, that's about halfway through. That's fair enough, you know? Now the other thing that's interesting, Matt, you look at the last month of their schedule.
Right.
We're talking Dallas here. And this is what, again, used to jump out at us if it was you that it was happening to. Okay? 3 of their last 4 ball games are road games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not the, you know, depending on what's happening. It's at Jacksonville. Now, they're home against Philly. But then they're at Tennessee and at Washington. So, really, the only one of those that you think will be, you know, thought process of really a pretty good football team would be Tennessee.
Tennessee, right.
But you're still late in the season when guys are beat up.
Yep.
You're going on the road three weeks in the last month. That's not exactly what you're looking for. So, you know, the hard part about the hardest thing is again, to me, the 2 opening ball games with them. And I'm not saying they're going to lose them. I'm not saying that. But, you know, when you ask that question, if, you know, hey, can we play good and still not win? Yes, you could. And then, again, the way they finish up, they really didn't, Matt. See, they got the Monday night game on September the 26th, you know.
Right.
That's not real crazy, you know. And then they got the Thursday night game on November the 24th, okay.
Well, yeah, that's Thanksgiving. So yeah. Thursday afternoon.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
right.
There you go. Excuse me. Yeah, and I've coached in that game before. Mm-hmm. But and then they got a Thursday night game on the 29th, you know, of December.
Correct, yeah. That's a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a couple things I notice. One thing I pay attention to, and we talk about this every week during the season, and I freely admit I probably put too much thought into it, but teams on short weeks, when you have to go Monday to Sunday or Sunday to Saturday, or in some cases Sunday to Thursday,
right?
I tend, as a fan, I look at the team they're playing on the short week. Like, for example, Dallas, when they have third week of the year, Monday night at New York.
Right.
The game after that, on a short week, I would favor them to beat the Commanders at home.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right. That's a factor.
You see where I'm coming from?
I think, and
I don't know. I mean, Washington, I don't know. I would guess they would play. I don't know if they play the Thursday or the Sunday before, but the point is, Dallas on a short week having to come home from New York, it's not like you're having to tangle with the Rams or the Buccaneers.
Exactly.
Now, this is the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody.
Well,
I understand
still,
that.
No.
You
no,
understand where
to,
I'm coming
well,
from.
Well, I know, because we've looked at it the same way. You hate to think that way, you know. But
yes.
You do. It's easier from a fan standpoint.
From a fan standpoint.
From a coach standpoint.
Correct.
But you're right. No. We used to talk about that.
In another case, the Thanksgiving Day game against the Giants. Short week.
Right.
Okay, they go to back-to-back at Green Bay at Minnesota.
Right.
But then on a short week, you get the Giants at home. Nothing against the Giants, but they're rebuilding.
They're rebuilding.
That's the fact of the matter.
Yep.
Now, where they don't, you just brought up, where they don't get a break, that Titans game on a Thursday, and they play the Saturday before Christmas Eve, is a Saturday, the 24th. Short week. Now, it's not Sunday to Thursday. It's Saturday to Thursday.
Right.
But going to Tennessee, that's tough. I mean,
you
got to remember, Tennessee was the one seed in the AFC last year.
Oh,
and I know they got upset in the divisional round, but still, good football team.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things I kind of pay attention to. And the other thing about Dallas, guys, they could get into about halfway the season and not be over 500 at any point. But because of what you just said, Pat, they start Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, two tough games. Yes, they're at home, but tough teams to beat.
Sure.
Then they'll probably win their next two, Giants and Washington. Then Rams and at Eagles. That's not easy. Then they have Lions and Bears. So what I'm saying is, and then they go at Green Bay. The point is,
every time they get to 500, they got to go.
They have a tough game. That's kind of what I'm saying. Is every time they, if you look at the schedule, every time you think, well, they may get to 500, then they got another tough ball game after that. So it may be into the season a little bit before Dallas has a decent record if they don't play well.
Kansas City, we tend to have about as much interest as, Dallas, Kansas City around over here, as best I can tell. You know, the interesting thing about the Chiefs, I caught this morning, Craig, that, their first eight games are all against teams with winning records. Arizona, Chargers, Indy, Tampa, Vegas, Buffalo, San Francisco, Tennessee, and then they got Jacksonville. Now theirs is Matt, like we were talking about, Craig, three of their first four ball games of the first month. See, they're at Arizona, they're home against the Chargers, they're at Indy, and they're at Tampa.
Wow.
If they go 3-1, they ought to be jumping for joy.
That's for obvious reasons. They're playing good football teams.
Right.
You're playing on the road, and then so you got that to deal with. And then after week seven, they got their open date, which is fine. Now, the other thing that popped at me down the stretch, starting in the stretch run, week 13, 14, and 15, see, they're at Cincinnati, at Denver, at Houston. Down that stretch, you're getting into the real meat of your schedule, getting ready for your stretch run. Now, you get to two of their three last ball games are at home. Seattle, and then Denver at home, and then the last game at Vegas. So, really with the early part of it is hard. You're playing good people all the time. Three of the first four are on the road. And then again, week 13, 14, and 15, whereas, and like Craig alluded to, you're kind of normally in that point, guys are starting to be beat up a bit. So you'd rather stay around, use your training room, all the things that associated with that sort of thing. And then they go on the road December the 4th, December the 11th, December the 18th. So, hey, they got a good football team, and that's the way the whole thing is kind of set up. The NFL, the better you are, the better teams you play, and the later you draft, which is really not a bad idea, to be honest about it.
And then one thing Matt and I were talking about earlier, Pat, looking at this, is with Christmas and New Year's falling on Sunday, we're going to see a bunch of Christmas Day, in fact, a triple header of games on Christmas Day. But then on New Year's Day, Pat, we're going to see they have 14 games scheduled for New Year's Day. And Matt was saying some of the major college bowl games are going to be moved away from New Year's Day.
Sure. Now, is that a Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, New Year's Day is on a Sunday.
Okay. Now, again, you heard me say, part of being a pro is, just getting your gear and going to play. But particularly when early on, just to get off with some momentum early in the season. And then when you're battling, like everybody else is, late, if you'd rather not have something awkward travel-wise, you'd rather not.
Speaking of travel, Pat, the international games. So there's going to be five of those this year.
Three in London. Three in Munich, right? Mexico City, right?
Yeah, Munich and Mexico City. So I mean, now, did you ever do an international game?
Yeah, not a regular season game. We played a preseason game in Mexico City, and we were so glad it was a preseason game. You know, I mean, I look at these things, and I know why they do it and all that kind of stuff. Greg, I would wonder, I guess coming off of the European games, they probably give them an open date the next week. They should. You know, simply for obvious reasons. But, you know, those are, for all the reasons we've talked about, mechanically, you know, it's awkward. It's hard, you know. And they'll stay in good hotels and normally have good facilities. I mean, Azteca Stadium in Mexico City can get kind of shaky. That was my experience with it. But, you know,
I think it was the last time they went down there. Wasn't there some talk about that last time there was a game in Mexico? I think they
you heard me whine, Matt, over the years about that it was probably the worst dressing room known to mankind.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
I think it was the last time somebody played down there. They put that bubble up as the visitor's dressing room. Remember when they showed the picture going down the ramp?
There was something weird.
They built a bubble of a temporary dressing room somewhere there, which, I mean, well, I mean, without me getting too gross, when the equipment man starts handing you shower shoes before you ever get there.
Yeah, use your own imagination.
Yeah, when you get off the bus and they're handing you a little deal with shower shoes in it, and you're thinking, oh, gosh. And, I mean, that was awful. But anyway, that was part of it, as best I remember. You could tell where, and maybe because they had that ramp built out of wood, remember, that they were talking about going in and out. That's what it was, Matt, that we saw, because you'd heard me whine about it.
Gotcha.
But you got that. So the one, and I've never had any experience with the European stuff, but, you know, Mexico City was a treat, but we were real glad it was a preseason game. I would hate to go play one of those deals in a regular season. I really would. They're hard enough at, you know, when they're preseason. But to go play with one, you know, when you got a lot on the line, you know, that would really make it tough. And then you, particularly the European games, the trip coming back. And then, bam, get off the plane and go. The you brought this up off the air, Craig. I know we're had a bad time, but, you know, the Sunday night games on the road. I didn't check these schedules, but Sunday night on the road for the coaches, I mean, you're talking about getting back, or maybe it could be Monday night too, but a night road game, and you get back at, you know, 2:30 in the morning, you get off the bus and go straight to the office and start grading the film and doing your work for the next week. And, I mean, you stay tired for about a month, you know, one of those kind of things. So that's not easy.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.